You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Coming up, the ladies talk about the women of Grimm.
There's a silver lining here somewhere. We'll find a way. And then when the Hex and Beast thing, it was like, no, there's no good answer to this. Nope, there isn't anything. And I like being bad. I like being mean. And I like this power.
And I think they were all in denial about where this was coming from. You know, they knew she was angry, hurt, scared, and frightened. You know, they just really thought they could bring her back through all that. It didn't work.
They're going to be like this force that's, I don't want to say Batman and Robin. It's even more than that. You know, they're going to just really, take on the vessel. That's my guess. That's what I'm kind of hoping for.
Yeah, and not only that, but made some really, in my opinion, the character was written to make some really stupid choices.
That's next on Sci-Fi for Chicks, Women of Genre. Do you ever wonder what a woman really thinks about?
Doctor Who.
Harry Potter.
Lust.
Orphan Black.
Grimm.
Space. The
Fear
Final
the
Frontier.
Walking
Outlander.
Dead.
Star Wars.
Heroes and Heroes Reborn.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent Carter.
Mr. Robot.
Lord of the Rings.
I, Zombie.
Stargate.
Alien.
The Secrets of the Immortal Nicholas
The Marvel Moon. Movie.
Penny Dreadful.
Walking Dead.
X-Men.
Cosmos.
Firefly.
Game of Thrones.
Harry Dresden.
The Return.
The Spiderwick Chronicles.
Teen Wolf.
Sherlock.
Battlestar Galactica.
Sleepy
Ghostbusters.
Star Trek.
Torchwood.
Guardians of the Galaxy. All you have to do is listen. This is Sci-Fi for Chicks.
Welcome to Sci-Fi for Chicks. In this series, we focus on the women of genre. We're going to look at some of our favorite films, books, TV shows, and more. We're going to discuss how the female characters are portrayed, what impact they have, what they do or they don't, and how they affect the story overall. We're going to talk about likes and dislikes. You know, this is just a no-holds-barred chat, full of rants, raves, and possible indifference. So I want to give you a disclaimer. We each may have seen Grimm recently or quite a while ago. So if we get something wrong or you think that we're interpreting things incorrectly, just tell us what you think. We're open to constructive criticism, so give us a call or post it on the website or send us an email, and I will give you that information at the end of the podcast. Maybe, if you want, you can join us in a future episode. So details on how to contact us will be heard later, so stay tuned. Okay, we've got Maya Aides with us today. Hello, Maya.
Hi, good to be here.
Doreen Shadel. Doreen.
Hey.
And my name is Cammie Settle. We are going to talk today about the Women of Grimm. So here's our general spoiler alert. If you haven't watched Grimm up through the end of season 4, you will be spoiled on some of the details of what happens. So just a fair warning right now. Spoilers. And, you know, Maya, you have done all the recaps on scififorme.com, and so I'd like to for you to maybe catch us up to where the season left off at, May?
Yeah, it seems like a long time ago.
We'll try to help
ago.
You remember some of those things, too. But
So we're mainly talking about the women in Grimm, and actually the women featured really heavily towards the end of the season. The big elephant in the room has been, well, since the end of the season, was the fate of Juliet, because trouble walked, spoilers.
She shot her with a couple of darts. Spoilers.
I realized that I'm giving, if you haven't seen the season finale, it's been a while, and if you still wait that far behind on your binge watching, I'm sorry. You shouldn't be listening to this, because we waited a while. So Trouble walks in, basically shoots her almost at point blank range with like a little crossbow. And it looked like Juliet died in Nick's arms. I kept saying, and I have been saying all along, that Juliet was not dead, based in no small part because there were images out on the internet of a sort of Snow White-like funeral with Juliet in this glass coffin, and if you look at the image, there's an IV in her hand. And to me, that was a huge telltale that she was going to come back. Mm-hmm. But that's not the news that came out of the San Diego Comic-Con, so apparently I'm wrong. and also at the end of the season, you know, another biggie female thing was that apparently Nick's mother was beheaded. Kelly Burkhart.
Yes. And we were kind of hoping that was a hoax, but we don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of thought it might be because it seems pretty obvious to me that Trouble was working with somebody, that there was some sort of an elaborate plan going on, and it was a female voice when she was in Bud's pickup truck and was talking to somebody. She made mm-hmm. like she was talking to Nick, but it was obviously a female voice on there.
Was she on the phone?
Yeah, she was on the cell phone. She got a phone call when she was riding with Bud, and she acted mm-hmm. like she was talking to Nick in front of Bud, but the audience could hear that it was definitely a female voice.
Okay.
So I thought maybe she was planning something with Kelly Burkhart, but I don't know.
Right. Well, what they say on TV.com is that she might be dead, but she'll also appear in flashbacks this season. And that's according to the producer, Jim Kauf.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen the last of her on the series, but she may really be dead, which, you know, kind of goes back to, it was surprising to me that Diana didn't protect her.
Yes, that seemed very much out of character to me. It also struck me, if you go back and think about it, when the sort of henchman of Prince, I was going to call him Charming, but he wasn't all that charming.
Yeah. Is that Kenneth?
Kenneth, you know, his lead guy, and I did know his name, but I can't think of it, the bald guy. He was like the lead heavy guy, the bodyguard type person. When he came right. back into Nick's house and he saw Kelly's head in the box, Kelly Burkhart's head in the box, he looked surprised. Now, if he was uh-huh. in on it, it seems to me that it wouldn't surprise him because they supposedly had placed it right there in the house. Well, right. if they placed it there in the house, why was he surprised to see it?
Good point.
Yeah. But it would be a very elaborate plan for them to have gone through to have, you know, made up a fake severed head of Kelly Burkhart's head and put it in a box.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's possible. I still wanted to see Juliet come back because she's been a good character and she's had an interesting arc this whole season in particular. We've seen a lot more of her bad side, if you will.
I mean, she certainly took a 180 degree turn, didn't she?
Yeah, at least. She's been such a goody two shoes for mm-hmm. all these seasons.
Well, yes and no. I think she was, there was that Mama Bear part of her that said, don't mess with me. And yeah. She was able to take care of herself in some of these scrapes. But this whole Hex and Beast thing really changed her in ways that seemed very inconsistent with her inner self.
But she also. She was what I mean by a goody two-shoes girl. I mean, yes, she was always very strong and very capable and able to protect her and her friends and family mm-hmm. and so forth. But she always thought the best of people. She always, you know, was positive and acted like there was
right.
There's a silver lining here somewhere. We'll find a way. And then when the Hex and Beast thing, it was like no. Yeah. No, there's no good answer to this. Nope, there isn't anything. And I like being bad. I like being mean. And
well, the power,
I like this power.
The power took over, I think.
Yeah.
And then she couldn't get over the fact of how she looked so ugly, you know, as the Hex and Beast. So I guess she just figured she'd embrace it. And the feeling of all that power, you know.
I thought that they were overlooking something. Nobody really said this, at least in the series, but I'm sure all the fans were thinking this. If she was a Hex and Beast, it certainly made it more made her more capable of protecting herself. And if you are even dating a Grimm, it seemed like she was constantly being put in danger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So being able to easily or adequately protect yourself, not a bad thing.
I thought it was an added plus.
I did. I mean, yeah, so every now and then she looks like something from the crypt.
Well, it seemed like she had better control over when that happened, too, though.
Yeah, especially as time went on.
Well, let's talk about... So she, at the end of last season, she helped kidnap Diana, put Diana on the plane with the king, right?
Yes.
And Meisner...
Yes.
And
Meisner showed up.
She doesn't get on the plane, but during the flight, Meisner shoves the king out the door.
Out of the helicopter.
Who's Meisner? Yeah, so who is Meisner working with Juliet now?
I don't know about that. He's with part of the Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
He helped Shade. Adeline. He helped Adeline escape when she was pregnant, and he helped deliver her, you know, the baby.
Right.
Helped him get to safety and all of that. And he's been working with Captain Renard for several seasons now. I'm not sure whether he came in season one, but I don't remember him in season one.
Yeah, he's been in 14 episodes since 2013. So just the last three years.
Yeah. So season two. So yep. He would have come in season two then.
Right.
Yeah. So the Women of Grimm, to me, that's one of the best things about this show in a lot of ways is that the writers have given us strong and well-rounded female characters. And a lot of times in a police procedural that doesn't feature, you know, where the female isn't the lead, the female characters always seem, not always, they seem sometimes to be sort of an afterthought. They're more eye candy and not very well developed.
Now, help me remember Chavez, the Agent Chavez?
Yeah, who shows up at that side.
Yeah, so is she the head of the FBI group that are all Vessen?
I think she was the one who kidnapped Trouble and tried to recruit her, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes, and they were all Vessen. She had some kind of a hawk-like face.
Yeah. And frankly, when she was outside the house and she said, get her to the team, I didn't know who she was talking about. I didn't know if she was talking about Juliet, Trouble, or if she might have even still thought that Kelly Burkhart was alive.
Uh-huh.
There were really three different possibilities to me, and it wasn't clear to me at all that she's talking about Trouble. I saw on Twitter and, you know, other places on the internet that everybody assumed that she was talking about Trouble, but I didn't think that was that clear. I really think there are other possibilities.
Yeah, they may have left it pretty ambiguous for a reason. Although she has been after
cliffhanger.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're setting her up to be next season's villain, if you will.
Oh, really? Chavette?
Well, at least one of the story plots, because we don't know really. Or do we? Do we know what her motivation is? I mean,
no.
She's been after Nick. She's been after Trouble. So is she trying to get rid of all the Grimm?
No, I don't think so. My guess, and it's a guess, is that she wants at least a Grimm to be working with her to clean up Vessen that are being violent or doing illegal things. You know, use them as sort of, again, like Nick is, you know, a police slash Grimm.
Yeah, but why not go about this in a direct way instead of kidnapping and coercing? Yeah, it just seems really odd.
Yeah, let me make you feel all warm and comfortable about joining us. Here, I'm going to shove you in a van.
Yeah, let me put a bag over your head and take you to some remote place.
Tie you up to a chair. Here, now don't you feel comfortable about joining us?
Yeah.
I promise we're a fun-loving bunch of...
really helps to build that trust, doesn't
it? I don't know.
Maybe she's afraid. I mean, Nick's still a Grimm, so he can go after them. And there's always that initial fear.
But so is Trouble.
That's true.
And Trouble has already proven herself to be pretty handy with her machete.
Yeah, I mean, she hasn't... curbed a lot of those Grimm tendencies like Nick has. I mean, Nick actually thinks through, hey, wait a second, you know, these people aren't good or bad.
Yeah.
And that's his role with Trouble, is to teach her, you know, don't just go for the reflex instinct of beheading somebody. You know, there's a bigger story here.
Somewhat, although I think he's going to be on a very different character arc this next season. They're building this up as his arc is a revenge line, and they're talking about the Phoenix, and I don't know, and how it's going to be darker and more edgy. Nick is going to be darker and more edgy. Okay.
Well, he's going to also be co-raising this child, right?
Well, oh, you mean with Adeline?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so we've got Adeline, who...
I forgot about that.
They're project... Okay, so here's this the talk on TV.com is that she, you know, she lost her powers this season again, and she lost her job again.
She's had a rough couple of years.
She has. So, in fact, Claire Coffey, who plays Adeline in the show, she says, her quote is, she's a lawyer. She'll scour Craigslist or something. It would be kind of funny to see her looking through Craigslist for jobs.
Yeah.
But she's an interesting character. You know, she has played kind of a victim role here for the last season and a half. And I don't really like that about her. You know, she was such the person that we wanted to hate for so long. Yeah. You know, she was conniving and, you know, scheming and very narcissistic. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, she just became this, oh, poor is me, you know, poor me, please protect me.
Yeah, and not only that, but made some really, in my opinion, the character was written to make some really stupid choices. Because as a hexen beast, and then a pregnant hexen beast, and then a... Yes.
Non-hexen beast.
Yeah, and then, I mean, she willingly gave up her powers at a time when having her powers was really important. I mean, how else is she going to protect herself? She knows that people are out to kill her. She's pregnant and then basically powerless. Where was the logic in that? And that is so counter to anything that she has been in the past, you know, four seasons. She has always been the person that looked out for herself and protected herself and looked out for
them. Did she willingly give up her powers? I've kind of forgotten the details around that.
She took the potion first to see what it would do on Hexen Beast powers before they were going to try to give it to Juliet.
That's right.
And it worked really well on Adeline, and they couldn't get it into Juliet.
Right, that's right. Juliet broke the vial.
Yeah.
Or the flask.
So that was a waste.
Yeah, it kind of backfired. Well, you know, part of why she did that, she had nowhere else to go. Mm. And her only hope is to align herself with Nick and that group.
Yeah.
She can't go back to the Royals.
Well, and at that time, Juliet was coming to get her, too. So she was willing to give up her powers to see if that worked. You know, make sure Juliet had the same fate, but it just didn't work out that way.
They didn't really think that went through very well.
Not
here,
so well.
That's like trying to give the Hulk, you know, here, Hulk, have a Tootsie Roll that will make everything all better. Really?
Well, they should have tricked her into drinking it. I mean, because weren't they telling her, mm-hmm. we can get you your life back? But at that point, she was already past that point. She was like, I don't want my life back. I like this power. I like, you know, so naturally she wasn't going to drink it. Now, if they would have found Juliet the week she turned into a Hexen Beast, she probably gladly would have drank it. So.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, but I thought their tactics were really off center.
I thought they were stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done similar things when dealing with large livestock, but, you know, it wasn't smart then either. Yeah.
Did you just call Juliet a cow?
No.
Maybe a horse.
No. I just mean I've tried to implement just as
right. No, I understand.
Ill
what you meant.
Thought out
just
plans.
Giving you a hard time.
Yeah,
true.
But they well, but the, and they all maybe knew. It, they all knew. I mean, she had said, I think every one of them that she enjoyed the power. Right. I know she had said that to Nick. She said that to Nick back when she was in jail.
Yes.
You
well,
can't
they were
do
all in
for
denial.
Me, and I don't want to not be like this. I understand now why you like the power.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had the best intentions of having their old Juliet back, and I think they were all in denial about her, where this was coming from. You know, they knew she was angry and hurt and scared and frightened. You know, they just really thought they could bring her back through all that. It didn't work.
Mm.
But it also paved the way for them to kill her off at the end of the season.
I can't believe they killed her off.
I know.
Yeah.
I really can't. I mean,
yeah.
Although
they kept saying that
a major character was going to be killed off. I actually thought it was going to be Adeline. I thought because Claire Coffey had just had a baby, and I thought she may be looking for a way out of the series.
Yeah.
And so I thought that it would, might be her.
Interesting.
But I was wrong.
Well, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what Adeline does now this season.
Yeah.
And how the baby affects the change, the dynamics.
Do we think that Nick and Adeline will get together? I don't see it.
No, I don't see that.
No. Although, no, this is going to be some really awkward, you know, if you go to McDonald's Sunday evening, you'll see some really awkward exchanges between divorced couples when the children go from one parent to the other in the parking lot of McDonald's. You ever seen that happen?
No.
Now, imagine it's Nick and Adeline.
I don't think Adeline will let Nick see him at all. I mean, they took her first one away.
I don't know.
I could see her not wanting... Well, I don't know. We'll see what kind of power she has.
She's already told him this is his. She didn't have to reveal that to him.
That's true.
Well, she thought she did because she was looking for his protection.
So it looks like this season they're going to let Nick focus on his revenge. And he'll have his hands full doing what they call some bizarre co-parenting with Adeline.
Yeah.
And this baby is kind of the reason for him to keep going. So that's kind of it. That's his motivation to move forward. So that will be interesting.
Henrietta was another one of my favorite female characters season.
I was really sad about Henrietta's death. Because she was... I was hoping that was a fake death, too.
I was hoping that was like a comic book death.
Yeah, she could have been a really good resource for information and could have been a redemption arc for Juliet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one. I was glad she was on for more than one episode, but I was really hoping we were going to get to have her as a regular character.
Mm-hmm, me too. Now, Hank's going to find a true love this season, they say. So we might see another, well, I don't know if it'll be an existing character or somebody new.
It could be. There was
the doctor, wasn't there? Or yeah, was it a Vessin?
She was a Vessin, and her son or brother or something was a teenager, and they were a cat. Yeah. Like, they were like pumas or something, or not pumas. I don't know.
Some kind of cat family?
Yeah, like big cats.
Okay.
And they, Nick and Hank helped them out, and... He wanted to continue the relationship.
Yeah,
she was a physical therapist, I think.
Yeah, she was.
Yes, she was a doctor of some type.
Yeah, yeah, when he broke his ankle or leg or something in a skiing accident.
Why did that? Mm-hmm. What? Why did she? Yeah, why didn't that work out? What was her reason?
She backed off. He was willing. He wanted to continue the relationship. He knew that she was Vessin, and she was like, no. She turned him down.
Oh.
Well, let's talk about Rosalie.
Okay.
I didn't see most of season one. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been watching this from the get-go. So Bree Turner, who plays Rosalie, teased about some of these skeletons in her closet are going to come out. And they're going to cause some major problems for her and Monroe, basically dealing with past addictions. But I don't remember any talk about that. Do you?
Yeah, she apparently had a drug addiction. She did some time in prison. She was in prison when her father died. So she didn't and wasn't able to go to his funeral.
Okay.
And that was a big source of a family rift, particularly between she and her sister. Mm-hmm. Her sister really blamed her because she felt like she had abandoned the family and wasn't there to help them and be supportive when they were going through her father's illness and eventual death.
Gotcha.
And yeah, it was a very comfortable family dinner. Monroe was introduced to the family, her family, and her sister brings us up, and Rosalie explains that she wasn't there for her dad's funeral because she was in prison, and it's just, you know, one of those warm, happy family dinners.
So we'll get more information, I guess, this season on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also, I mean, Rosalie's other things going on in her closet was she had a relationship with a guy who's a part of the resistance, and her family has a history of being well connected and having like a direct line to the council, the Vessin Council.
So, yeah, she does use that occasionally throughout the last couple seasons.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Finding out information about the Oh, what was the extremist group?
The Vessenrein.
Yeah, the Vessenrein.
Yeah. But you also called them up. Well, there was the guys that were robbing banks in fully vogued.
Yes.
And I believe that the Vessen Council kind of cleaned that one up too.
Yeah, they didn't want the bad PR.
Yeah, that's kind of what they do. I mean, that you know, mm-hmm. you go messing with the revealing, and they will come in. They do clean up.
Yeah.
Right.
She has a lot of things that they've already set in her background that could be some really interesting storylines.
Yeah, you know, they bring her out as kind of this sweet, quiet, thoughtful lady. And yet there's so many secrets that we kind of want to find out about her. Whole nother side there.
Yeah, well, and there was her, this last when they did the Christmas episode, and she was kind of talking about how Christmas was always hard. And now she's married the biggest Christmas, you know, mm-hmm. Christmas sort of explodes in Monroe's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And they didn't do, not this season. They have had at least one episode or so where they showed Monroe's house at Halloween. And that was good also. And he really enjoys the kids coming to trick or treat.
Yeah.
We haven't really had too much about them actually being married and how they're navigating their first year of marriage, except for husband being kidnapped. And
yeah.
Well, yeah, there little was thing, that.
Little yeah. things like that.
I think the whole Juliet storyline was definitely more important mm-hmm. and more dominating than how their married life is.
Well, and the funny thing was that when the Juliet storyline was starting, if you remember, that was when Monroe had been kidnapped, and Juliet kept wanting to talk to somebody to get some answers about mm-hmm. what was going on with her, and everybody was too concerned and too preoccupied with finding Monroe, rightly so, but
yeah.
And she's like, I kinda need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, she was kind of tired of taking the back seat, I think.
And you know,
but she could have pressed that. I mean, you know, she could have taken a half an hour out of... Well, she did talk to Sean Renard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which went over really well with Nick, you know. You talked to him and not me. Great. Right. Thanks.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what this season will do with Trouble.
Yes. I really like her character.
I do, too. You know, it took me a couple of episodes to warm up to her when they first introduced her. But I think that she's developed into a really good character.
Well, she's developed so much as an actress.
Yes.
You go back and look at her first couple of episodes and then compare mm-hmm. where she is now, and she mm-hmm. has bloomed. She has just absolutely blossomed as an actress. I love watching her progression.
Yeah. And I think the writers are more comfortable with her as a character as well.
Yeah. And they're giving her more depth, if you will, to her character.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The other thing, they haven't had time to mention it, but I wonder what's happened with Josh back in, was it Connecticut that he was in? The guy whose father was a Grimm and he died, that Trouble took back home and helped get him settled.
Right.
I mean, he has Grimm in his bloodline, so... I don't understand how that happens or doesn't happen. We haven't had any kind of explanation about who becomes a Grimm and how and why. And, you know, why was Nick not a Grimm until his aunt was dying? That's when he started. I mean, that's how the whole series started, was Nick started having these visions of seeing people voguing. But apparently he hadn't grown up seeing those things. But yet, like, Troubled had and didn't know what was... You know, I mean, there should be some kind of rules in this world, and I don't... Be consistent!
Well, maybe it just... She didn't know, because just like other things in other stories, things skip a generation, and, you know, like his aunt who had it, she didn't know did she know he had it? I don't think so. It just...
She knew that it was being passed... She acted like it was being passed to him that first season.
Mm-hmm.
She only lasted like two episodes, but before she died. And she was remorseful that it was being passed to him. But then you have both sisters apparently were Grimms, because Nick's mother was a Grimm as well, and she was alive. At that time, we thought she was dead. But so both of them had it. As Aunt Marie died, her grimness or her powers or whatever seemed to be passing to Nick. How does that work?
Good question.
Good question.
Very good question.
Something else they're going to explain this season is more about the keys.
Oh, yes.
They've come back. What about what about the coins? Remember the coins of those gold coins? They caused so much trouble. Yeah, you're both.
I don't remember
me.
Coins.
Is that from Sleepy Hollow? There were coins in Sleepy Hollow that caused trouble.
No, there were coins. Okay, there was a jewelry store owner, and he's about to be broken into. He knows that they're after the coins. He swallows the coins. The coins kill him. The medical examiner finds the coins inside the jewelry store owner. They end up with Sean Renard. These coins change people.
No, you're right. I do remember
and
that.
And he sort of started taking on Hitler-like qualities with these
was
ideas.
His first
but
season?
He put him in a safe place, though. He put him...
No, they ended up with Kelly. They ended up with Kelly Burkhardt, and she traveled off to get rid of them or take them wherever they needed to be. And we haven't heard anything more about them.
Maybe they'll bring those up later.
We've not heard what happened to them or where she took them or...
Okay.
I think they're in the storyline parking lot. But they do promise, producer David Greenwalt promised that they would deal with the damn keys.
Okay.
We still don't know what they do, but by God, we're going to explain it.
So they admitted they don't know what they do.
Well, that's what he said here.
Great. Yeah. Doesn't that just like fill you with a whole feeling of, you know, oh, we're going in a really solid direction when the creators don't know what their one of these main plot devices does or is.
They're not main just yet. I mean, they were an interesting article.
Let's see.
Were they main?
Hmm?
Would you call that a main plot device?
They were in season three.
Okay.
Season three, they were the huge thing because they were what everybody was after. They are why Renard and Nick eventually joined forces. They were the reason for the zombie invasion.
Well, then maybe he just said that so he didn't have to answer questions.
So that was convenient. But anyway, in season three, they were basically the driving force of season three. And then season four, not a single word the whole season about them.
Yeah, they just dropped them.
Yeah. Yeah, they were gone. The keys got lost.
Coins, you mean.
Keys and the coins.
And the coins. Yeah. And the keys. Maybe they haven't figured out a good storyline for it yet. That's why they kind of put them in limbo.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Don't lose your head. Sci-Fi for Chicks will be right back.
The fall TV season is upon us, and you know what that means. Recaps. Join us over at scififorme.com as we dive into new shows and new seasons with our unique blend of dry facts and colorful opinions. We talk about the shows and share our analysis, and you're more than welcome to join the conversation. Fall TV is on. Only at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Sci-Fi for Me Radio. It's better than goofy golf.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself, now syndicated over at Amazing Stories Magazine. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV. That's our YouTube channel where we have interviews, convention panel video, all part of giving you the most bang for your buck Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out, Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Well, who have we missed? Well, we didn't talk about Diana, the daughter.
The baby? Or
yeah.
She used to be a baby.
Well, yeah, she grew up somehow.
Yeah. a lot.
She went from very small to like six.
Yeah.
In a season.
That was amazing. Wow.
That was amazing.
When she showed up at Nick's house, I was like, oh my gosh. She went from being an infant to this walking, you know.
Walking, not, talking.
Yeah, not just like a
person.
Toddler, but yeah.
No, she was a person.
Yeah. The writers have done, and I'm not going to say anything about the actual actress because she's a kiddo and she will do or not do kind of what they tell her to do as best she can.
Yeah.
But the writing of that little girl has been inconsistent.
How so?
Well, and this is back to my reason that I think that there was, that wasn't Kelly Burkhart that walked into the house. Kelly Burkhart, honestly, we're supposed to believe that she would walk into that house without having looked around and checked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she gets a message from Juliet, but she hasn't talked to Nick. She has no details about what's going on. And she's just going to walk in without even like peeking in a window.
And is it just me or does that, I mean, I don't think that house seems very secure.
Oh, it's not.
It's not at
all. It isn't secure at all.
Okay.
You think
there's been an ogre in there?
After three seasons, you'd think he'd do some home improvement on it.
Right.
Yeah. At least and besides just patching up the holes in the wall. I mean, how many Vessen have been flung through the wall and there have been bullets shot and crossbows have gone through the walls? Those walls
beheadings
are like Swiss cheese.
Stabbings, yeah.
Everything. I mean, you know, there's been glass. I mean, yeah.
I pity the realtor that has to resell that house.
Oh. You know. How? What's the history on this? Oh, the history on this house? Oh, you mean like as far as violent things, behaviors? Oh, no, it's got really good karma, yeah.
So back to Diana and consistencies.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, before, I mean, we've seen this baby before protect both herself and anybody that she cared about, whether that was mommy, you know, I mean, she has made weapons futile, you know, rendered them useless.
Disabled weapons.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's done all kinds of things. And yet she just sat there in the middle of the floor while Kelly Burkhart was killed?
Right.
Really? I don't buy that. And then she walks in and is introduced to this absentee grandfather who it's not too hard to see is not like my grandpa was.
Well, they're all different.
Yes, and I'm very happy to say that my grandfather was nothing like that. she, you get the sense that she knows that he's not all good. And, I mean, she smiles when he gets pushed out the helicopter.
Yeah, she didn't act surprised at all.
Mm-mm. I think she knew that Meisner was in the helicopter. Mm-hmm. She may have sensed him or something. I think she knew he was there. So yeah. I think it's very inconsistent that this baby that has unusual powers and from, well, even before she was born, actually, she was protecting Adeland. She was doing things from within the womb, protecting her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And yet, really, she just sat there in the middle of the floor and did nothing?
Well, you could also say she was protecting herself when she was protecting Adeland from within the womb.
Yes. But she's also protected people after, you know, after she was born.
That's true. When they were escaping in the woods, didn't she do some things there?
Yeah. She did some things there and she, well, let's see, was the baby already born when some bad guys came into a hotel room and they tried to get Adeline and Baby did something with the gun or the knife or something. I mean, she...
I don't remember that.
Yeah, even though I write on these, I can't remember all the details about four past seasons. I just know that she has done things to protect those around her before. And right. when Renard gave Diana to Prince before Kenneth, Victor, to Victor, right?
Wasn't Sounds that about right.
Victor, and they were driving to the airport, and our pretend resistance then met them, and they took her back, basically. In the car ride, her eyes turned all purple again, and she makes the skull form on the window. It was foreshadowing. She was foreshadowing that his time was limited.
That was right before the resistance took her back.
Yeah, although it wasn't the resistance. It was Nick and Hank and Monroe and Rosalie.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So do we know much about the resistance?
No, not really. There was, back when the keys were important.
Yeah. way back when.
Yeah, back when the keys were important, there was a whole bit with Renard realigning himself with the resistance because he doesn't want to be with the royals and he doesn't want to have their foot on his back, basically. So that was a little kind of like glimpse into some of the resistance, but there hasn't been like a history about who they are or why they are around and what their aims are, particularly, you know, we don't have a whole lot of information about them. What else?
Who have we missed?
I mean,
well, there are
a lot
of women in
there are a
like,
lot of secondary
characters,
you know, there's a lot of, and there's a lot of course, Vesem characters that we see as one-offs, basically. They come on for one episode. One of my favorites was the Dragon Fleur.
Yeah.
She was a strong and interesting character. She was protecting her father who was in the tunnel and basically kidnapped Juliet for him to kill so that he could feel powerful again. And Juliet kicked ass, but can't say that. She kicked booty. And
yeah, was, you know, when you think about the villains, there haven't been a lot of female villains.
Well, some of these Vesem have not been pleasant. There was the female Spinnertod, the spider one.
Yeah.
She was gruesome. Gross and gruesome. I mean, what she did to men was disgusting.
But most of the Vesem have been. Most of the evil Vesem, they make men.
Yeah, and even the female ones, when they do something bad, it's usually a part of their survival mechanism. Like the Spinnertod, that was it was a cyclical sort of thing that she had to go through every now and then to stay alive or something.
Yeah,
The scary part was she went back home to her daughter. They had a family dinner, and there was a young daughter at the table who was probably about to enter puberty, and you were like, oh, she's going to be going out and doing the same thing. And what other female ones have we had?
The one more recently, and this is just the last season, and I don't remember the name of the Vesem, Maya. You're going to have to help me.
I'll try.
But this was the family that had the ranch where they took the young
the boys' ranch.
Male Vesem. The
boys'
ranch, And they could go and do their first hunt.
Right. And there was
And it was the sister
that
was actually killing people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't call her evil. I would call her misguided, maybe.
She didn't want to let go of the traditional ways.
The old ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what she was doing was not right or anything, but evil is different. She was kind of like a cat hunting. You can look at a cat playing with its prey and stuff and go, oh, that's just wrong. You're being wicked.
Yeah, but she also knew that she shouldn't be killing people, in this day and age, and that her family didn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So she was one of those extremists.
Yes,
I would say.
Would agree, but not really one of our villains.
No,
Adeline
not so much.
Adeline has been our consistent villain,
right?
And now she's a confused mother of two. Or almost mother of two.
Now it's payback time. Now,
she'd be too tired to be a villain.
Especially if her kids have powers, too. How do you ground them?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, what the heck takes parenting
to a whole new level.
Time out. No.
Well,
yeah, I don't think so.
I'm looking forward to with Treble and the way she is, because she's kick-ass, even though she's learning to rein it in like Nick does. And with Nick's revenge high on the...
Oh,
they're
the two
have,
of
like, them are going to
table
be,
turn.
It's they're going to be like this force that's... I don't want to say Batman and Robin. It's even more than that. You know, they're going to just really, take on the Vessel world. That's my guess. That's what I'm kind of hoping for.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with Agent Chavez and that group,
too.
Especially regarding Nick and Trouble as well. Because I think that's all got to come to a head somewhere.
Yeah. I'd like to see them bring back in Josh. I think Josh should have grim powers. That would be interesting. And I still want them to be wrong and them to bring back Juliet, because for her to die in this way, okay, it is sort of real life. I mean, not real life like we all become Vessen of some kind or Hexen Beast and then die, but people do die not in the best, you know, when they're not in everybody's good graces.
Yeah.
After a fight or when something really bad has happened. So that is true. That does happen, but...
Well, I never say... It's a sci-fi show. I never say never. Even though they announced that she was dead, maybe that was a ploy to get us to... You know what I mean? Like, maybe that was a trick. Who knows?
It's been done before. They have lied to us before.
Yeah.
I mean, not them necessarily, but promoters and showrunners and...
Well, and I found it interesting they saw that where she was in the glass casket with the IV. So it's like, what's that
right.
about? You know, why would they show something like that unless they're somehow keeping her alive? Maybe she's dead, but I don't
know. It was a teaser.
A teaser,
you know,
yeah.
I'm sure they're going to have to try and save her.
Well, that image was out around mid-season.
Ah.
It was online. So it was out long before the final episode aired.
Yeah. Hmm. So we don't know if they're going to start out this season with her in the hospital.
Yeah, that's true.
With them trying to save her. You know, we don't know how she truly dies yet. We know she's been shot by a couple of crossbow darts.
Right.
Right. But we don't, you know, maybe Nick goes in and pulls the plug. Who knows? Or somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
Or somebody
that's
else.
Very true.
So if we lose Juliet, do you think we're going to get another strong female role to take her place, but be our next strong female in the show? Because without her, we have Adeland and Treble are really our only two main.
Okay, so let's make our predictions.
Or am I missing somebody?
Rosalie.
I thought I said
Treble.
So we have Adeland and Rosalie, but who else?
And Treble.
What's your prediction?
About them bringing in somebody else?
Yeah, like who else would they bring up to a major character for the season?
Well, if Hank's going to get a girlfriend, there's one.
There would be that.
And I think
we'll see more of Chavez as well.
Yeah. I do too.
And I think Treble will stay on throughout the season instead of going off somewhere.
To camp.
For a big part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, there might be another... I don't think Nick needs another love interest right now, so that'll hold
no,
off.
He's,
no,
yeah, he won't spend no, time on that anyway no. right now.
He's going to be too busy burning bridges and people
right.
on him.
I don't know. I think maybe just Hank's future girlfriend and then Chavez's role maybe a little bit more defined.
That's my prediction, too.
Well, also, what about... Remember the episode with the vengeful spirit sort of thing? It was set in the tribal, and there was the young Native American guy who went on his spirit quest. Now remember the end of the episode? The lady, the investigator or detective or deputy. She was a sheriff's deputy. She ended up taking on the spirit and she finished off the last of the men that murdered the young guy's father.
Right, but don't you think that's basically concludes the reason for that spirit to be there?
Yes, but I thought she was Vessen in that, maybe.
If so, I don't see them bringing her back as a major character. She seemed more like a plot device to me.
She was then, yeah. I'm not sure how she would be brought back as a major female character.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect if there's a female character to come up, that it's going to be somebody that we haven't met yet.
Yes. Well, I'm sure they'll have some pretty good characters for us this season.
Oh, and I just figured it out.
What's that?
The major female character will be somebody that has one of the other keys.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
Well, what do you say, ladies? Shall we just wrap this up?
Yes.
Have we talked about it?
I'm so glad to have other people to talk Grimm with, because I watch Grimm usually by myself and then write the recap review for every episode, and it gets posted on scififorme.com. And this is a lot more fun to be able to have people to actually talk about it with. Yay!
Yes. Well, you do a wonderful job.
Oh, and sometimes I do live tweeting, and sometimes I pass that on to somebody else because, you know, Friday night.
Multitasking.
That's right.
So many social engagements, so little time.
Yeah, it's hard being me.
So if you've missed an episode, you can catch the recap usually within a couple of days, right, Maya? You
usually have those posted. Oh, definitely within a couple of days, right? Yeah.
Yep. So catch those on scififorme.com. I think that about covers it for this episode, but we would like to hear from our listeners what you think about the podcast and today's topic, and did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? Who did we miss? And other shows and films and books and games that you'd like to hear us talk about. So maybe you could even join us for our next podcast. And if you're interested in contributing as a writer, please contact Sci-Fi for Me. Call us at our hotline, 573-427-2434. That's 573-42-SCI-FI. Or email scififorchicks@scififorme.com. And of course, you can go to Twitter. As Maya mentioned, she's tweeting a lot on Grimm. On Twitter, you can follow us at Sci-Fi for Chicks.
Good job.
So you can subscribe to us on iTunes or the podcast platform of your choice so you don't miss a single episode. And also head over to scififorchicks.com for the RSS feed and back episodes and more. And while you're there, check out any of the great articles, podcasts, and more at scififorme.com.
You're so good.
I'm inspired by Mia. I need to start, taking notes while I watch my shows so I can recap better and remember things better.
I always take notes, but then I have to go back through and say, okay, I really don't want to cover every single detail because it would take too long. Yeah. You're just basically providing a transcript, right? For me, the challenge is to put some of the analysis in there. Where do I think they're going to go with the story?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
For me, it's been finding the thread. So I watch the show. And then I think about it, and then I usually watch it again. By the time I have my post done, I have watched the show a minimum of 3 times.
Yep. I've done the same. I've just recently been doing the Doctor Strange and Mr. Norrell series.
It takes me that many times.
Yeah, it does. 3 times at least. The difference, I guess, for me for this latest series is that I read the book, and I'm actually going back through and reading the book again as I watch the series so that I can compare and contrast to what's happening on the episodes versus what was actually written in the book. Yeah. I know you don't have that option with Grimm.
Not really. Although they are doing ebooks on Grimm. There are ebooks.
Oh, are they?
Grimm books? Ebook Grimms? No. Help.
Ebooks on Grimm.
Ebooks on Grimm. And I think they've started doing graphic novels as well. Somebody has. And, of course, I've got lots of merchandise that you can do. But you don't really want that. You really want to support scififorme.com and get one of our super-duper cool mugs or a T-shirt because they're much better.
Coming soon.
So the actor David, who plays Nick, and Bitsy Tulloch, who plays...
The newly deceased Juliet.
The newly deceased Juliet. They've been dating, and then they kill off Juliet, maybe somebody was like, oh, no, you ain't going to do that. We just going to go kill her off. That's what we going to do.
Maybe there's a rule against dating your coworkers.
I don't think so, because apparently they were fairly open about it. So, yeah. So I was talking about that my challenge with writing the post for Grimm is to find that theme or the thread or what kind of direction I want to take the post, whether it's going to be about the production side or about the storyline or something like that, or, you know, contrasting that particular episode with previous episodes, or what is it about that one that makes it interesting?
Well, we're just going to have to talk about more Grimm on another episode.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. So I'd like to thank Doreen for being here. Thank you, Doreen.
Thank you for having me.
And Maya, our specialist in Grimm.
Oh my gosh, I'm a specialist.
You should come up with that.
Yes, you are. You are the resident expert on Grimm.
Oh, wow.
And of course, the back-end technical person who's online, often seen but not heard, Heather French. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Heather.
Woohoo! Thank you, Heather.
And this is me, Cammie Settle, saying goodbye, and join us next time on Grimm at Sci-Fi for Chicks.
Don't miss the Grimm Season 5 premiere Friday, October 30th on NBC. Check local listings for time and channel. Then tune into Sci-Fi for Chicks, available on iTunes, as Maya and Cammie discuss each episode. Follow Sci-Fi for Chicks on Twitter for updates.
On our next episode, the ladies talk the women of Doctor Who, the Russell T. Davis years.
The way Russell T. Davis wrote the whole thing was slow and organic. Nothing was rushed, even though there was a lot of running.
All these women aren't special because they have some intricate place in the universe. They're special because they're a unique human being.
She was actually acting pretty much as a doctor, because she would just say, this just has to be done. I'm not going to wait for approval. I'm just going to go do it.
I do not like the Martha hate that's out there just because, yeah, she fell for him.
In fact, she met guys who fell in love with her.
I don't understand a doctor becoming romantically involved with a companion, because to me, they're not supposed to.
When I first met her as a character on the show, I wasn't sure whether I would like her or not. She grew on me very quickly.
That's next time on Sci-Fi for Chicks, Women of Genre.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.